and another basis for interpreting that the Sabbath day was given to Israel, not to the church. Verse 28 of chapter 11. Let me read that again as we close. Come to me. Come to Jesus, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Amen.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We welcome you to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. To find out more about our fellowship, please visit us online at ccechopark.com. And now let's humbly turn our eyes to our Father in heaven as we open His Word. We will be in the New Testament book of Matthew. Let's join Pastor David Higa with the teaching as we set our hearts and minds on the Lord.
Okay, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. We'll begin right there. It says, come to me. Who said this? Jesus, right? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love that. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I love that. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. What does Sabbath mean? Think it's coincidence? I don't think so. That's why we need to take away the chapter and the verses, right? At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Verse 3, but he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him. Verse 4, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. Verse 5, or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Verse 6, yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. Verse 7, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Verse 9, when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. Then he said to them, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Verse 12, of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees, verse 14, went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him. And he healed them. He healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, verse 18, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. And he will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. Verse 20, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench till he sends forth justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will trust. I want to give you some scriptures for you to write in your notes from the Old Testament that underscore this. And so, when someone says, hey, we need to obey the Sabbath in the church, they are gravely mistaken. They're not reading the Bible in its context. They're not actually reasoning this out. The church is not a nation. It's a powerful entity, definitely, but it crosses all nations. The church is not a sovereign nation. But it's a powerful entity, isn't it? But things changed after the cross. And so, Sabbath after the cross is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. Hebrews chapter 4. But oftentimes people mix up the two, don't they? And so here's some scripture I want you to write in your notes. Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17. Let me read this to you. Exodus chapter 31, right at verse 12. Write this in your notes. It says, there's a context of this. This is right when Jesus went up to Mount Sinai and received the tablets of the law. I remember he was doing that they had this rebellion by Aaron. Remember he built that calf, right? That idol of gold. Well, Moses was receiving the law at that time. And so that's the context of Exodus chapter 31. Right at verse 12 it says this, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep." Now he's just received the law. And in that law is the law of Sabbath. He says, "Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." Who's the you? Israel. Throughout whose generations? Certainly not the church. Throughout the generations of Israel. "That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Verse 14. "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore." Who's the you? Israel. "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you." To who? Doesn't say the church. To you, Israel. "Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people." Verse 15, "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." This is the law given to the sovereign nation of Israel, who is a theocratic nation. Therefore, verse 16, you want to highlight this, "the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath." He spells it out. The children of Israel, not the church. Now, it's okay if you want to obey the seventh day. That's okay. But it certainly doesn't mean the same thing to the church as it does for Israel. "Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant." Throughout whose generations? The generations of Israel. Verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever." Forever. What does forever mean? Before and after the cross. And even on into what? The millennial kingdom. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." So even here, when Moses went up to Mount Sinai, to receive the tablets of the law, God made it abundantly clear that Sabbath was a sign between him and the children of Israel forever. Forever. Now, the forever part is the reason why Israel, even after Jesus, Messiah, goes to the cross, and even after they receive Jesus as Messiah in the latter days, they'll continue to practice the Sabbath and the other feast days. And we see that in the millennial kingdom, don't you? In the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year rule and reign of Christ, what is Israel doing? They're worshiping the Lord, and they're obeying all the feasts, and they're obeying the Sabbath. Why do you think that is? Because right here, the Sabbath and the law was given to Israel for their generations forever. You see the separation, though? Israel is not the church, and the church is not Israel. What's the church doing in the millennial kingdom? They're ruling and reigning with Christ. So please notice this. That Sabbath was not instituted for the church. After the cross, Jesus has become our Sabbath rest, as described very clearly in Hebrews chapter 4. We don't have time to read that, but please read that in your own time. That also is why I believe replacement theology is so off the mark. Because if the church has replaced Israel, then that surely muddies the water, doesn't it? Then the church has to start obeying the Sabbath. You understand? Do you understand as you put these scriptures together? If you hold to replacement theology, the church has replaced Israel. And then the church has to obey the Sabbath. But what is interesting to me is that the churches that do practice Sabbath, they're all replacement theologians. Do you notice that? Very interesting. They hold the view that they have replaced Israel. And they are now literally or symbolically the 144,000 of Israel in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. But no, I just don't see it. When you read Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, when it says 12,000 from every tribe, I believe it's 12,000 for every tribe. And he names the tribes. God means what he says. God says what he means. And what do you do with Romans 11? When Paul says, hey, Israel's going to be grafted back in. Who's that? He's talking about the church. The wild olive branch grafted in. But he's talking about Israel, the native branch will be grafted back in. Who's he talking about? You see, I think as you take these scriptures in its totality, you read the Bible from cover to cover, I think it's abundantly clear that the Sabbath's for Israel, not for the church. After the cross, Jesus has become our Sabbath rest. So to remain with the simple, literal interpretation of the Bible and take in parts like what we just read, Exodus chapter 31, verses 12 through 17, Sabbath is clearly Israel, not the church. The Apostle Paul said this in addressing this. He said that to the Gentile church in Colossae, he says, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. You see, for the Christian, there is a Sabbath rest in Christ Jesus through the cross of Calvary. And Jesus said this, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. And Jesus even went on to say in our passage this morning, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, we're going to look at chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. With that background, we can see what Jesus is getting at in our passage this morning. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. Verse 2, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. What was not lawful to do according to their what? Oral tradition. The Mishnah. It was not lawful to do. But not what was actually lawful on the Sabbath. And so Jesus corrects him as follows. Look at verse 3. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests. And so Jesus here, he highlights what? He highlights an important point that, you know, many Pharisee types almost always overlook. What's that point? That there's a great difference between the letter of the law and the intent of the law. That's exactly what he's highlighting. There's a great difference. The letter of the law and the intent. Now, Jesus spoke a lot about this in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, most of Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount explains this very point. You have heard it said in the law, right? Do not murder. But I say unto you, do not have anger with your brother. The letter versus the intent. You have heard it said in the law, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, don't have lust in your heart. See the letter and the intent? You see, the intent of the law is the critical factor. And this is a very, very monumental point. And I believe we always look past, especially religious people. And so here, while Israel is to cease from work on the Sabbath, it is not at the expense of neglecting to feed someone who is hungry or heal someone who is sick. In short, I believe what he's saying is, get a clue. Have some common sense. Don't let the letter of law turn you into a religious fool. And that's what religious people do. They do some very foolish things. I got to obey the Sabbath, so I can't feed my brother. It's work. That's what they were doing. And so Jesus, he gave them an example from their own scripture, from their own hero, King David. David, when he was hungry, said, he and those who were with him, when he was running from Saul, remember that? He entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat. Who was to eat the showbread? Only the priests. David was not a priest. He was on the run. And he went in there and he ate the showbread. Not lawful for him to eat. But you know why that was okay? Because the need for food in that dire situation was greater than the letter of the law. You understand? There's the letter and there's the intent. But we get so religious and we get into the letter and we miss the intent. And you know what? People are perishing because of that. Now in verse 5, Jesus highlights a specific example from Scripture on breaking the Sabbath. Verse 5 says, or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? The priests actually profane the Sabbath, but they're held blameless. You see, if Sabbath, as the scribes and the Pharisees were saying, meant no work, not even kindling a fire, that was seen as work. Then the priests, they break the Sabbath every week as they work in the temple. What do? They light candles and present offerings. In summary, the folly in their letter of the law view made them blind to common sense. They couldn't even see something as simple as that. You ever recognize that? That people that get so wound up in the letter of the law, the things very simple that they need to do, they can't see it. They can't understand it. They can't know it. You see, the temple ritual always involved work, Barclay writes. The kindling of fires, the slaughter of and preparation of animals, the lifting of them on the altar, and a host of other things, this work was actually doubled on the Sabbath. And the priests, they did. For on the Sabbath, the offerings were doubled. Numbers chapter 28, verse 9. And so, if they were really following the letter of the law, well, they certainly missed what they were doing themselves. Double the work. Verse 6, yet I say to you that in this place there's one greater than the temple. Now, this is where Jesus starts to really make them upset. Keep reading. Verse 7, but if you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. So the point is this, that they missed the entire point of Sabbath. Sabbath was given to Israel as an act of mercy. Tender, loving kindness. Sabbath was given to Israel as an act of mercy. And they made it into something so different. And this is where Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30 is important to connect to this passage. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the mercy, people. Get it? Jesus is our Sabbath rest. God, in his mercy, he desires to carry you. He wants to carry your burdens and give you rest. That's his desire. He desires mercy. That is the heart of the God of Sabbath. Come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This is the very point of Sabbath for Israel and for the church. It's just that it's instituted in Israel's law as a sovereign theocratic nation. Sabbath is coming to God in worship. It is coming to Jesus. Sabbath was not given as a burden. Rather, it was given to carry burdens, to draw near to God, to give your burdens, to place them on Jesus. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Now the writer of Hebrews says this, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his, or Jesus' rest, has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8, 9, and 10. See, Sabbath for the child of God is entering God's rest. That's truly what Sabbath is, entering into God's rest. It is not just sitting and sleeping. I'm on Sabbath, I'm sitting and sleeping. Now, it can include that. But you know, Sabbath is so much more than that. So much more. Sabbath means rest, peace with God, and resting in that peace. And that comes by way of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. Now, one commentator, he said it this way, a crying baby does not rest by law and logic, a list of do and don'ts. It is when daddy or mommy comes and holds it. It's true, isn't it? So that, hey, enjoy your Sabbath. Stop crying. Do this. Don't do that. No, he stops crying. Why? He finds rest as mommy and daddy comes and tends to him. That is the essence of Sabbath. It is the come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus, people, is our Sabbath rest, huh? Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, this is where things begin to get a bit tense. What is Jesus saying here? Now, the word Lord, as we mentioned before, means what? Master. So Jesus is saying he is master of the Sabbath. Uh-oh. Fighting words, huh? Now, this needs to be made very clear. In these words, Jesus is claiming deity. He's claiming to be God. And that is why the religious leaders wanted to destroy him, to do away with him. And we see this spelled out in verse 14. Now, verse 9 says this, now, when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. Verse 10, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? That they might accuse him. So what's interesting here is that Jesus, he even begins to press the issue more. Notice that. He goes into the synagogue. And he begins to press the issue. Now he knows that this man in the synagogue has a withered hand. And he specifically goes, so he comes from outside the synagogue, goes right in. Now who's in the synagogue? It's religious leaders. He presses the issue even further. And he's going to heal this man on the Sabbath. You know, there's a time to avoid an issue and move on. And we see Jesus do that as well. But then there's a time to press the issue even further. This is what Jesus does. He presses this issue even further. Now timing is key, right? And the Lord leads. But verse 11, as we read, says, then he said to them, notice he's pressing the issue. What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? It's a rhetorical question. They all know. In their Mishnah, they said, you know, it's okay, because, you know, it's my sheep. Of how much more value than is a man than a sheep? So if you've allowed yourself to do this because it's your sheep, and you don't want to lose money, isn't it more valuable to heal a man on the Sabbath? Then he spells it out very plainly. Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Those are the words of Jesus. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. So the logic is this. You can rescue your sheep from harm on the Sabbath, but I can't do good and rescue this man from his infirmity? That makes no sense. And in this, Jesus exposed their hypocrisy by showing they had greater concern for their own possessions than for man in need. It reveals their heart, huh? If it's about me, it's okay to do. But if it's about you, it's not okay. It's work. And then he argued persuasively, Jesus, that it can't be wrong to do good on the Sabbath. I want you to underscore this for you people that are into Sabbath. It's never wrong to do good on the Sabbath. These are Jesus' words. It's not work. It's never wrong to do good on the Sabbath. This is his clear and direct answer. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. He also said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. And if he's Lord of the Sabbath and he says it's lawful to do good on the Sabbath, then what does that mean? Do good on the Sabbath. It's not work. Verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might destroy him. Now this to these religious leaders was the last straw. They knew what Jesus was claiming. But to add salt to the wound, as Jesus was teaching the truth, the scribes and the Pharisees, they know what was happening. They were losing control over the people. If the people don't obey the Sabbath as they've instituted it, they lose control. This is a subtle, yet powerful tool that religious leaders oftentimes use. I want you to notice this. They use their spiritual authority to control rather than liberate. It is subtle and yet a strong manipulative tool. Don't be manipulated by somebody that just quotes scripture and wants to control you. You know, Jesus was manipulated by no one. He knew the Father, he knew God's word, and he was led by them. Verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and so he made his point on Sabbath. He even pressed the issue in the synagogue. Everyone heard what he said and did. He healed this man's withered hand, and now it was up to them to respond. He left it there. It was time now to move on. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Yet he warned them not to make him known. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, verse 18, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. Verse 19, he will not quarrel nor cry out. Nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. Now this is a messianic quote and fulfillment from Isaiah chapter 42 verses 1 through 4. I want you to notice the gentleness of Messiah and his ministry to the Gentiles. Notice that. Something no doubt that would have been surprising to the Jews. And probably even offensive to Matthew's Jewish readers. What do you mean, to the Gentiles? Nonetheless, the prophecy came to pass as Israel rejected Jesus. And the gospel then went out to who? The Gentiles. Which is chronicled in the book of Acts. After the Gospels. And it is in the book of Acts that we see the church, the Gentile church, now what? Meeting on, are they meeting on Sabbath? No, they're meeting on Sunday, the first day of the week. Not the last day on Sabbath. This is another reference, could be subtle, but it's another reference to Sabbath being for Israel and not the church. As the gospel went out to the Gentiles, they began to meet on Sunday. When do we meet? Sunday, the first day of the week. So you can see even in that, right? Israel and the church, they're different.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Calvary Chapel Echo Park podcast. If you are in the LA area, you are invited to fellowship with us. We are a simple and small church with humble hearts serving a mighty and magnificent God. If you need prayer, please reach out to us and we will pray for you. Visit us online at ccechopark.com. To God be the glory.